in our state, and he serves on our council. And we so love the contributions that they make toward the state program and helping us do ministry. And I appreciate this church for your being faithful month in and month out to tithe. Because you tithe, the gospel goes to 187 nations. On planet Earth. Isn't that good? How many of you know together we can do more? Yeah. I want you to stand for the reading of God's Word. Turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke. I'll start in Luke, then we're going to go to Acts. Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 44 through 49. The Bible said, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you, while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. I won't read it, but in the next four verses, we find out what happened as he ascended. Now go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Let's go to verse 14. And in verse 14, the scripture said, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Now to Acts 2, verse 1. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. I want to talk to you today on preparation for Pentecost. Preparation for Pentecost. Would you lift your hand now and ask God to anoint me? Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus, and God, I thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being back in this place today. I thank you, God, for the power of Pentecost. And I would ask you today to anoint me, anoint this congregation to receive. And may we leave here with Christ being lifted up, Jesus exalted, and lives transformed. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I don't know about you, but last words are important. I remember the last words that both my maternal and paternal grandfathers said to me. I remember one of the last conversations that I had with my dad before he passed away. Last words are forever words. You and I, in both the Luke 24 and Acts 1 text, are privileged to hear some of the last words of Jesus on earth before he ascended back to heaven. What was on the heart of Jesus before he ascended? Did he talk about how they were to live in a Roman-dominated culture? No. Did he talk about how they were to be a social gospel church to relieve Roman oppression? No, he did not. You want to know what was on his heart? It was on his heart the coming of the Holy Spirit to be upon them, and not only to be upon them, but to dwell in them. Listen at the word. Some of the words I read. He talked about tarrying. He talked about the promise of the Father. He talked about power. He talked about baptize. He talked about the Holy Ghost, the third person of the Godhead. Pentecost. The Acts 2 text records the day of Pentecost. Pentecost was the second great festival of the Jewish year. It was the festival of, it was the harvest festival of the first fruits of the grain harvest. On the day of Pentecost, they would hand the first fruits. That's why I believe in tithing. Let me just stop and preach a strip on tithing. Tithing is the first fruits of our labor, and we put those first fruits right here in the storehouse. I'm preaching better than you're shouting. I don't go to Walmart and buy my groceries and then go to Food Line and pay for them. I pay for them where I get them. Amen? Now, first fruits. The first fruits they were going to hand our Lord of the harvest. Jesus talked about this in John 12:24. When he said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Let me tell you what happened on Calvary. On Calvary, a grain of corn died. It was planted into the ground, into Joseph's tomb. But on Sunday morning, the stalk shot up. And he arose, and then that stalk ascended to heaven. And on the day of Pentecost, great harvest, great fruit, the first, the beginning of many souls in the world being saved, were saved on the day of Pentecost. You see, Pentecost can never be separated from the harvest. Pentecost symbolized for the church the beginning of God's harvest for souls in the world. Next Sunday, May 28, 2023, is Pentecost Sunday. Now, I want us to think. What does it mean when we say things like, this church, the Thomasville Church of God, is a Pentecostal church? I don't want to make you uncomfortable. We are both a holiness and a Pentecostal church. We are Pentecostal. What does that mean? Normally we think of Pentecostal as describing denominations like the Church of God, the Assemblies of God, the Pentecostal Holiness Churches, the Emmanuel Holiness Churches, the Congregational Holiness Churches, the Foursquare. I could go on. But I want us to analyze for a second what it means to be Pentecostal. We take the term obviously from the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Thomas Trass, the former Assemblies of God general superintendent, defined Pentecostal as, and I quote, those who identify themselves in belief experience and practice like the early Christians on the day of Pentecost. A church that is Pentecostal will believe in a definitive work of grace called the baptism of the Holy Ghost, initialized by speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. Though Pentecost is controversial, though Pentecost often provokes questions, I am glad to say today, hear me, in a world like we live in, I am glad to say I am still Pentecostal. Is there anybody glad to still be Pentecostal? Hear me. Your pastor alluded to it. In a post-Christian America that is filled with some of the most nonsensical junk I've ever heard of, forgive me, but that children as young as the second grade can choose their sexual identity. And I've come by to tell you that God has never been, and nor will He ever be, confused about sexual identity. He creates male and He creates female. And marriage is between one woman and one man. In a world that is pluralistic, that said all roads lead to God, and it doesn't matter what you believe. Yes, it does matter. It so much matters what you believe. Your eternal soul is based on what you believe. I'm preaching right now. And there is still an objective truth. I don't buy this. What may be true for you is not true for me. And what's true for me may not be true for you. As a matter of fact, I hold 66 letters in my hand. 66 books. And they are the truth. And Jesus said you would know that truth. And the truth would make you free. And if the Son has made you free, you are free indeed. Anybody glad to be free today? But I'm going to say this, and don't get quiet on me. We do not need a Pentecost in name only. We need more than a paper-written Pentecost. We need a Pentecost again of power, signs and wonders, miracles, and manifestations of the Holy Ghost. My home church, I've been in the Church of God now for 38 years. My home church was a Pentecostal church, a holiness church, and it was not in paper only. If you saw them at the grocery store and you had a need, I don't care if you were at the cash out checker or you were over in the produce department, they would stop what they were doing, lay their hands on you, start jerking, and start speaking in tongues, and didn't care who saw it or who heard it. And you know what? My hometown had less than 700 people in it, one red light, and every Sunday 225 people were in the Church of God. You want to know why? Because it was a difference. It was a power more than on paper. It was a power that was manifested, and in being manifested, lives were transformed. I wish somebody would give God some praise in this house. If you're glad to be Pentecostal, wave your hand at me right now. To prepare for Pentecost, the scriptures I read tell us several things, but I'm probably going to only get to two of them. To have Pentecost, we must be obedient. To have Pentecost, we must obey. I feel the glory in this place. Jesus told 500 people, you go to Jerusalem and you tarry until you are endued with power from on high. Now I'm going to tell you something. Not everybody's going to want Pentecost. As a matter of fact, 500 heard it and 380 didn't go. Boy, I'm preaching right now. 120 did go. I want to tell you this, the majority's not always right. Boy, I could preach right there for a second. I don't have to go to the biggest church in town. I want to go to that church that is right according to this book. Jesus said, tarry till you're endued with power from on high. And Acts 1 and 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded. Say the word commanded. Commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. I've come by to tell you today, these are not requests, but they are commands. Pentecost is not an option, but it is a command to be obeyed. Let me tell you something. I'll go back to my home church. I realize those were different days. The men prayed on one side of the altar, and the women prayed on the other side of the altar. Anybody remember that? Shake your head if you remember that. If you got saved on Sunday morning, guess what? On Sunday night, somebody got a hold of you and said, you need to get in the altar and get sanctified now. And if you got sanctified on Sunday night, and let's just say it was revival on Monday night, guess what? They said, you need the Holy Ghost. And they took you to the altar. And you tarried. I've heard people in front of somebody saying, hang on. And somebody behind somebody saying, let go. That's not confusing to me. They were saying, hang on to God and let go of the world. And if you didn't get the Holy Ghost, they'd beat you to death nearly. You didn't leave the altar until you were speaking in other tongues. My God, I feel some preacher coming on. The 120 obeyed God, while 380 didn't. 120 did. I want to tell you today, people that are used of God will obey Him. People that are used of God will obey Him. All the way back to Abraham. He waited those years on a son, and then God tested him. God tried him and said, I want you to go to the mountain I show you of, Mount Moriah, and I want you to offer him up. And Abraham took that boy, and he took the fire, and he took the wood, and he went up to the mountain. He got as far as to take the knife and slay him. And the angels restrained him, and he saw the ram in the bushes. My God, I feel him. But can I tell you, by obeying God, Abraham came off that mountain with the promise that in you all this world is going to be blessed. I want to tell you today, God is looking for an Abraham that'll lay his Isaac down. And when you lay your Isaac down, God's gonna give you better than what you had. I wish somebody would bless the Lord. Mary, the mother of Jesus, would be talked about, pregnant out of wedlock. But she said, be it unto me the handmaid of the Lord. And she had the privilege to deliver the Christ child. When she lay that baby in the manger, she lay the Son of the living God and the Savior of the world. Jesus, in the agony of Gethsemane, Jesus would say, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. And I want to tell you, nevertheless, salvation came through. The Apostle Paul said, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but I was obedient. And because of that, we got 13, if not 14 books of the New Testament. Hold on. I'm going to preach for just a moment. Last night as I wrote this sermon with my hand, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, when Naomi was in Moab and had two Moabitess daughter-in-laws, she said, I'm going back to Bethlehem. I'm going back to where there's bread. And those two girls, one was named Orpah and the other was named Ruth. And you know what the Bible said? The Bible said Orpah kissed her and went back to Moab. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, we got too many Orpahs that are kissing their convictions and they're kissing Pentecost goodbye and going for an easier way. But oh God, give us some Ruths that'll say, wherever you go, I'm going. And whoever your God is, that'll be my God. I want to see a Pentecostal church again that'll say, let the world think what it wants to think. Give me this whole world, but give me Jesus. My God, I feel like shouting. Whew. Oh God. Obedience will always be blessed. Abraham obeyed. He brought the promise back down the mountain. Mary obeyed. And she brought us the Savior of the world. Paul obeyed. And he wrote out New Testament theology. John the Revelator obeyed. And it cost him, and he was cast upon the Isle of Patmos. But he got in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and he gave us the revelation. Acts 5:32 said, "And we are his witnesses of those things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." Several years ago, in Mount Dora, Florida, a boy had been seeking for the baptism of the Holy Ghost and couldn't receive. One night, they were in an altar service, and the Holy Ghost spoke and said, "Get on your knees and start crawling." And he said, "I'm not going to do that. That's humiliating. I'm not going to do that." God said, "Crawl." He crawled from one side, he hit his knees, and he crawled to the other side of the Mount Dora Church of God. He turned his knees to start crawling back. And as he began to crawl back, God baptized him in the Holy Ghost and fire. And he began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Can I get down here and just preach a little bit among you? You know what we're needing again in the church of God? We need people that will obey him. If God says walk the aisle, we'll get up and walk the aisle. If God says give, we'll give. If God says go over there and pray for somebody, we'll go pray. Am I preaching in a Pentecostal church today? You want to know why? Because obedience brings the blessing. Obedience unlocks the heavens. My God, I feel him. I want to tell you today, God is looking for a people that will obey him. Is there anybody at Thomasville that'll say, "I'm going to obey him. I want to walk in blessing. I want to walk in favor. I want to walk in power. I want to walk in anointing." If there's anybody that'll say, "I want to obey him," I wish you'd take your hands and clap them loud where the devil can hear you. "I'm going to obey him." I can remember Sunday nights in my home church when God first baptized this fifth generation Baptist boy in the Holy Ghost. I remember Sunday nights in my home church, some Sunday morning. Choir would be up singing. And you won't know any of these people, they're in glory. But I can see Marvelline Hayes just taking a step out into the aisle and just start walking. She'd just start walking. Then somebody else would hit the floor and start walking. My first Sunday school teacher Demily Parker, he'd be over to sound booth and he stuttered and he'd start saying, I feel his glory. And he'd get up and go to walking. And pretty soon walking turned into running. And pretty soon folks hit the altars. And folks got the Holy Ghost. Folks got saved. And folks got sanctified. I want to tell you, I'm not ashamed of that. I wouldn't care if the president knew about it. I wouldn't care to be in a worship service with him. We've got to go back to where this is more than paper. We got to go back to this being more than what's on a piece of paper. We've got to go back to the manifested power of God that comes upon a church that will corporately and individually obey him. Somebody, just anybody, wave your hand toward heaven. Brother, they obeyed him. They obeyed him. I said they obeyed him. Secondly, if we're going to have Pentecost, we got to pray. We got to pray. Acts 1:14, and these all continued in prayer and supplication. Holy Ghost didn't come to an unpraying people. You remember those Sunday night prayer rooms? Anybody remember them Sunday night prayer rooms? My God, you'd walk down the hall of a church and you'd hear the roar. You'd hear the roar. you'd hear the roar coming out. Because back in, everybody prayed out loud. Everybody prayed loud. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. You'd walk down that Sunday school hall. You'd hear a roar of tongues as people were praying in the Holy Ghost. Do we still believe in praying in the Holy Ghost? When's the last time you prayed through till you prayed in the Holy Ghost? I want to tell you, people got a hold of God in them prayer rooms. You remember the prayer rooms where people would walk out of them shouting, and they'd walk into the sanctuary before church ever started shouting. They'd walk into the church with the glory of God. I want to tell you this. You can disagree with me. You can not like me after I say this. The Democrats aren't the hope of this nation. The Republicans aren't the hope of this nation. Get your eyes off of them. Get your eyes off of CNN. Get your eyes off Fox News. Find you a prayer closet and do some war. Because if the church, I'm going to make a statement, if the church of the living God would go back to praying one more time, it wouldn't be long we'd start seeing this country turn around. It wouldn't be long we might lose our popularity in the world, but we'd get more influence over this world. Somebody help me preach. We need another prayer meeting. We need another prayer meeting until... My God. I had a good friend, preacher friend in Alabama named Gary Heyman. Gary Heyman, when he was a little boy, went to Straight Creek Church of God. Thespe Knowles was his pastor. Thespe Knowles was a drunk, wayward teenager that got saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost in Vestal Goodman's home church in Fife, Alabama at Highway. Thespe had gone to Straight Creek to pastor. And Gary Heyman contracted polio. Went to bed one night, and the next morning he couldn't walk, couldn't move. His mom and daddy began taking him to the doctor, and he couldn't get any better. One day they went to Scottsboro to the doctor. And that doctor looked at them and said, Mr. and Miss Heyman, that boy's dying, and there's nothing we can do. He said, I remember lying in the back seat, half out of it, and I heard my daddy say, we're going to the store. He said, I got two toys a year, one at Christmas and one on my birthday. Said, he won't be alive come Christmas, so let's go get him a toy today. He'd missed school for 6 weeks. They got home that afternoon. Thespe Knowles knocked on the door, and there was a line of church members from Straight Creek behind him. I'm talking about who we are. If you really want to get down to the brass facts of who we are, Thespe Knowles looked at old Sister Heyman, Grandma Heyman, and said, I've heard from God. The Holy Ghost said to stay here till it happens. And I've brought a bottle of oil, and I've brought the church people, and we're not leaving till something. My God, I want to shout right now. I want to shout right now. We're not leaving. Gary Heyman said, I'm lying there in that bed, can't walk, legs stiff. He said, Thespe Knowles anointed me with oil, and he said the Straight Creek Church of God saints got a hold of God. They begin to shout, talk in tongues, begin to dance, and he said all of a sudden I felt life come in, and while they were praying I slid out of the bed and began to walk. Great God. And he said that evening I got out in the yard and played with the kids and went back to school the next morning. Years later later, he was in the dentist in Scottsboro, and the dentist looked at him and said, "Did you have polio when you were a child?" He said, "Yes, I did." "My God," he said, "how did you know?" He said, "Every person that ever has polio, one of their back teeth will shift, and one of yours has shifted." He said, "Yeah, I had polio, but that was a witness to that doctor that there was a God who heals." I want to tell you, somebody needs to fire the weapon again. Somebody needs to fire the weapon. Last year in Michigan on April 8th, they pierced my heart doing a simple ablation. And for the next 31 days, I would be on a ventilator and a trach combination. Can I tell you, I ought to be in the cemetery in North Alabama today. But can I tell you, Church of God people across this globe began to pray, and somebody fired the weapon. Somebody touched heaven in my behalf. Somebody rang the prayer bells of heaven, and I'm standing here today. I had to learn to walk all over, had to learn to ride all over, but can I tell you, I'm standing here today as a miraculous miracle of the God of Pentecost. Oh, I wish somebody would clap your hands in the house of God. Anybody remember when God baptized you in the Holy Ghost? Stand if you remember when God baptized you in the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm going to tell you something, folks. This thing's still real. This thing's still real. And we're running around trying to be relevant and cool and hip. And this world could care less about how relevant and cool and hip we are. But I tell you what, they do want to know if we're real. If we're real. If we're real. I'm going to tell you what, there's some saints of God, they dug me out and they were real. Stand all over the building. There were some saints of God that dug me out. And they were real. They had some convictions I didn't have. But great God, they could put their hands on me. And they could get heaven down. Lincoln and Gladys Cooper were what I call my parents in Pentecost. And Sister Gladys never put a pair of scissors in her hair after the day she got saved. Her hair was stacked that high on top of her head. Brother Cooper, after he got sanctified and received the Holy Ghost, never put a short sleeve shirt back on. I'm not that strict, but I'll tell you what they could do. They could put their hands on you, and it didn't take them long. You know why? Because all that mattered in their lives was going to heaven and taking somebody with them. There wasn't anything else that really mattered to them other than that. They had their thing simplified. I'm going to love God and I'm going to love people. Are you with me? Are you with me? I'm not about people. God's calling me to preach. I hadn't told anybody, and God's calling me to preach. I'm preaching to myself all the time. Riding down the road, preaching some of the best sermons I ever preached to myself. I'm over in the altar one Sunday night, and I'm struggling with that call, and I got my head bowed. Oh, God, if you're calling me to preach, please help me. God, if you're calling me to preach, I don't want this to be me. Help me. All of a sudden, I open my eyes. And on this side of the church stood Eunice Holland. She had long sleeves on. Her hair was that high. She had a 3/4 length skirt. She's in a trance, speaking in tongues and walking wild eye, coming straight towards me. Her dentures didn't fit well. They were about to fall out. They were clacking while she was speaking in tongues. She walks over to me and she stops and bends down in my ear and stops speaking in tongues long enough to say, "The Lord has raised you up to be a voice in these last days." My God. And then she walked off. Can I tell you, he, the Holy Ghost, knows how. He can do more in 3 seconds than I can. Anybody believe that? Anybody want Pentecost again? Anybody want Pentecost again? You want a real outpouring of the Spirit of God? You know the song, "Oh Lord, send the power just now and baptize everyone." They were in a, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you don't. Here's what I want to do. I want your pastor and his wife to come. I want my wife to come. Stand in front. Stand in front. Stand in front. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. I was the first church God preacher. This little girl right here heard preach. She worked with a woman named Mildred Corbel that had poofy hole in his hair and wore blue jeans, skirts, and kid tennis shoes to work every day. And she kept inviting her to church. And my wife said that night, when my hand touched the door to pull it to come into the sanctuary, said, "I felt something I'd never felt before." That's what I want again. I want people, when they walk in our churches, they may not know, they may not have one idea, but they'll leave saying, "That's different. That's real." I'm going to tell you this. If you want Pentecost again, the next Sunday's Pentecost Sunday. If you want Pentecost again and you want Pentecost to hit the face of this earth again like a wildfire and go across this globe, I want you to start walking down here. That's the altar call. If you want Pentecost again in your life and in this earth, and you know we need Pentecost again, I want you to start walking. Come on, quick, quick, quick. I want Pentecost again. Come on. I want Pentecost again. I need me somebody up here to sing this. It's somewhere in the 100s in that red back hymnal. I want you to lift your hands and I want you to say this. Oh God, send Pentecost again. I want you to start praying. Start praying in your own way. Start praying.
Send it. with the sound of a rushing wind. Tongues of fire came down upon them, as the Lord said He would send.
Oh Lord, send the power just now. Oh Lord, send the power just now.
Praise in the house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I lost the bishop. Amen. I didn't want to get ahead of him. It's what I was looking for. Stretch your hand towards Deborah and pray for her tonight. Hallelujah. This morning, Father, we love you. Father, we glorify you and magnify you.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We know, God, today that you're able. Send the power, God. Send the fire, God. Send the Holy Ghost down, Lord. Send the power of God down. Hallelujah. Send the power down, Lord. Send the power down, Father. Oh, God, send down the Holy Ghost. Let it rain, God. Send the rain of the Spirit upon us, Father.
Lift your hand right now. Lift your hand. Before I turn it back over to the pastor, I want everybody to stand up that can. I want you to stand up if you can, please. I want you to take somebody by the hand. And I'm going to have you say something to them. Then I want you to pray for them. And then I want you to worship God with them. Look at your neighbor right now and say, something good is going to happen.
It's going to happen.
to you this very day, because Jesus of Nazareth is passing this way. Now pray for him, Father. Oh, Shadalama Kataya. Shadalama Sanda da 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 da. Why don't you praise God? Staying right here. Hold up just a second. I want you to stretch your hand this way. The spirit of infirmity, I speak to it in the name of Jesus and command the spirit of infirmity to go. I ask in Jesus' name, the same God, Jehovah Rapha, that raised me from death, to heal your liver. To heal your liver. Spirit of infirmity, I command you to go. I command you to go in the name of Jesus. And I ask for divine. I ask for the divine healing of that liver. May it regulate in Jesus' name. May it be made whole. If anybody believes God can work a miracle, why don't you praise him? Why don't you praise him? Daughter, lift your hands like the work's already done. Lift your hand like the work's already done. Let me tell you, this is the way they had church in the book of Acts. This is the way they had church. I want Pentecost, don't you? I'm about ready for Pentecost. Anybody besides me hungry for another wave of glory? I'm hungry to hear reports again of Sunday school classes. We're right in the middle of the lesson, the Holy Ghost falls and messages are given out. I'm hungry for that. I'm hungry for us to be that church again. You remember they used to say they go to that church. I'm ready to be that church again. Why don't you give God praise as your pastor comes?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I tell you what, I felt the glory in my soul today. I hear preaching like this and it just takes me down a journey, a path of my life. And I see, as if it was slides and a screen in front of me, of the things that God's done over the last 40 years of my life. It's awesome. I couldn't help, Brother Box, to think of the Saturday night at the Whittier campground when Ray H. Hughes was preaching. We'd been there all week. I didn't get to go all week. I watched the church bus go by in front of a storefront, a convenience store that I was working in. She was on the bus. They were going to camp meeting, and I said, God, I want to go to camp meeting. I want to go to camp meeting. I want to go to church working. You know, who wants to go to church over working, right? I was wanting to go to church. But it was deeper than that. It was more than that. And I finally got to go on that Saturday night, and Ray H. Hughes preached the message on Pentecost, no doubt. And he said, if you're in this room and you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, get up right now and God will fill you. I ran. I was the first one there. And the minute I got there, God, the glory come down and fill me with the Holy Ghost. You can't deny a man with an experience. You can't deny that. It's real. My little old granny come up there and got up about as tall as a net. got up and under my arm, looking up at me, saying, "Son, did you get it? Did you get it?" Me and Granny, I grabbed Granny around the shoulder. Me and Granny went to shouting across the front of Whittier. Years and years later, I took Nora, wherever she's at, took Nora and showed her the spot. I said, "Nora, this is where it happened, right here. Right here." And then somewhere along life, we go through life and life happens, and you listen to the say-nayers and the naysayers and the mockers and the squawkers and the gabbers and the jabbers, and they say, "Well, it don't take all that no more. You're too loud, preacher." And I just started buying into that. And I got more mellow, more melancholy, just sort of feelings, nothing more than feelings. You sort of just, but I'm saying, "Stanley, God, do it again. Flip me upside down, waller me in the floor, whatever. Whatever you gotta do, God." One more really quick story, because I always didn't think Holy Rollers was real. I thought it was all just emotionalism. Caught up in emotion, caught up in all the preaching, caught up in all that everybody was saying you had to do or not have to do to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You just have to be available. Say, "God, here I am." Make yourself available. But I remember that youth camp in 90-something, whatever it was, at the Crest, when we owned the Crest over there, and Joel Talley was preaching the youth camp. I was only an observer. I was working. I wasn't even working the youth camp. I just went to be there with my kids. You know, when preachers used to call you out, they'd get under the unction and call you out. People don't like that now, but you still do every now and then. Joel looked at me at the back of that place, and he said, "Come here. God's getting ready to do something in your life." I took one step. And I become a holy roller. Never done that in all of my life, and not done it since. That was an old pavement. It was asphalt, rough cement asphalt, had stones sticking up through the asphalt and the pavement. And Brother Box, I rolled from the back of that tabernacle to the front uncontrollably, and got to the front and was flopping like a fish. And it's like God had me on the end, just like that right there. And I can't explain it then, and I can't explain it now. I've never done that since, never done it before, you know. But I'm telling you, those experiences, well, it was God. And it's like, you can't explain. I don't know why God does that. I have no idea. But to this day, I know it was God. I would have been a fool to do that on my own strength and power. I mean, that would put me in the Asheville Citizens Times, the craziest man in Buncombe County. But they didn't do that. We don't understand it. But to this day, I know the power of God when He shows up. Amen? So some say it's not necessary. Some say that we can say it used to be. But I'm telling you, it can still be right now. We can still have a right now move of God. Amen? I believe that. And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't normally say nothing when a preacher gets through preaching. Rarely ever. But I'm going to tell you something. The only hope for the church of God is the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Because Jesus said, "If I go away, I'll send you another comforter, one like unto the same. He will lead you into all truth. He'll be your comforter. He'll be your guide. He will be your paraclete. He'll be the one, your teacher." If we lose all that, we're in trouble. The thing about it is, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, ever making intercession. But the Holy Ghost is here right now. For you and for me. And when they were filled with power, they become witnesses unto all men. So that's our order today. Go become witnesses. Thank you, Brother Box and Sister Box, for being here today. Thank you, brother. Building our faith. Building our desire to be filled with the power of God. Amen. Amen. Father, we love you today, and we thank you so much. God, fill us with your power. Fill us with your anointing. Fill us with the unction of the Spirit, O God. Let us become all and be all that, God, that you want us to be. And Father, I do pray as a pastor that, God, that we need you so much. We need you so much, God, in our world today and in the church today. Lord Jesus, to be the witnesses that you called us to be. You said in your word that it's not by might nor by power, but it's by my Spirit. God, is by your Spirit. And Father God, I pray for the Spirit of God to do a work in us. Take us to those places, God, that we've never been and we'll never go by ourselves. But God, by the power of the Spirit, may the anointing of God be with us and bring us back. God, give us a hunger, God, for Pentecost, a hunger like we've never had before. And God, fill us again with a refilling of your power, a refilling of the anointing of God. Touch this church, God. Help us to be a Pentecostal church. Help us to be a Spirit-filled church. Not ashamed church, but a filled church. And Lord, we thank you, God, in advance for all you're doing and all that's been done. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Have a good afternoon. We will.